Testing. I wish to welcome everybody today. My name is James Lynn. Wes Vines is with me, my co-host. Wes, say something.
Hello, James.
All right. The normally scheduled Tommy Crier show will not be seen today. Wes and I are substituting in for Tommy, and we've got a very, very interesting show for you today. And the show basically is out of control. I like to call it out of control soccer parents, but I think this really deals with just sports in general, youth sports, where you've got your children participating in basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, whatever it may be. Most of what we'll be talking about today will be as it relates to soccer. If you're going through this phase right now with youth sports, you've been through it, or you've got a child and you're getting ready to go through it, this is going to be a great show for you to listen to. You'll get a lot of very, very, very good tidbits of information. And for those of you who don't know, I am James Lynn. I'm an attorney and CPA. Wes is also an attorney. We both practice law here in Dallas, Texas. And over the years, we've run across a number of very interesting situations, different circumstances that, to me, just require some type of comment, commentary, some type of thoughtfulness put into the subject, just to try to understand a little bit what's going on. In weeks to come, we've got some other very interesting topics we'd like to talk about. Got some topics on immigration. Like to chat a little bit about defense that I think we need along the border. Need to talk about how Texas is proposing, at least there's legislation right now before the legislature in Austin to try to eliminate what they refer to as the TOS test. Is that right, Wes? Is that what they call it?
Well, it was TOS. I think it's TAS now.
TAS.
It comes down to a test to determine how the kids are doing in school. And as a number of graduating seniors did not pass the test, there is a move afoot to get rid of the test.
All right. That'll be coming up a couple of weeks. Also around in the Dallas area, we've got Farmers Branch. This is a little suburb, is on the outskirts of Dallas, or for all practical purposes in Dallas. They've just passed a legislation or a city ordinance that basically prohibits landlords from leasing to illegal aliens. Have some on gun control. Second Amendment, I think that'll be a very interesting historical analysis. We may get into some legalese on that. Going to have some discussion on father's rights and divorce. I think the pendulum has completely swung toward the wife, and in some cases, rightfully so, but in other cases, I think it really puts the male at a disadvantage in a divorce. And I'm not a big fan of Alex Baldwin. Some of you may love him to death. I don't particularly care for his politics, but I kind of understand a little bit, you know, some of the frustration that boiled out here a few weeks ago. So from a dad's point of view, yeah, I sympathize with him, but not necessarily his politics. Another interesting discussion will be on the Nigerian 419 scams. You get these emails. And they're promising you $36 million. Just follow their instructions. It's an advance fee scam. I followed a bunch of these through, reported some of them actually to the Secret Service in Washington, D.C. Very, very interesting topic. Going to have some discussion on affirmative action. Some of these issues that are going to come up, like affirmative action, gun control, I think it'd be helpful, for the audience to have some knowledge, for instance, how a trial works. When you use the law, who decides what law to use, what the purpose of a jury is, an interesting concept, maybe even jury nullification. And I think grasping some of those ideas would be very, very beneficial. Going to have maybe a program on DWI first aid. And that is when you get stopped. Let's don't make it any worse than it is. Anyway, I think I hear the music playing. the calls for our first break, and when we get back right after the break, we're going to start on out-of-control parents.
Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Right, I think I hear the music playing, and I believe we're back, and I invite everybody to listen to myself, James Lynn, and my co-host, Wes Vines. We're substituting in today for Tommy Cryer. We're not going to be talking about income tax today. I do a lot of tax work, and I'm a tax attorney. Do business litigation. Wes is a trial attorney. But we're going to try to change the subject just a little bit today, but I think this is going to be an extremely interesting subject. I do want to welcome Wes. Wes, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. James, how are you doing?
Good. Where were you yesterday?
James, I actually have a paying job, and I had to work yesterday afternoon.
as do I. All right. Wes is actually uniquely qualified to talk about this subject. Wes Vines is on the board. Aren't you on the board of the North Texas Soccer Association, Wes?
Well, I'm on the competitive committee of the North Texas State Soccer Association, which runs soccer here in North Texas, which is everything north of Waco, as far west as Lubbock and Midland, and as far east as Texarkana. That's probably about Nashville to Washington, D.C., for those of you who aren't that familiar with the Lone Star State. And also, I'm chairman of the here locally is referred to as the Boys Classic League. There's about 3,800 players. It's probably one of the top two or three leagues in the country in terms of its competitiveness. We have about 25 players in the league who are playing in the Major League Soccer League that many of you know about. There are four or five players who are from our league who are currently in and out of the U.S. national team, several playing in Europe. Some of you may know Clint Dempsey. He's one of the ones that the sports apparel folks are kind of enamored of these days. But long story short, it's a league where soccer is played at the highest levels of the youth game, and with that comes some very nice things and also some of the not-so-nice things.
And your son played soccer, didn't he?
My son played for about 8 years in the competitive game. My daughter also played for 8 years. Through that, I managed my son's team for 8 years. My wife managed my daughter's team for about 6 years.
Okay.
And
now,
Wes
and I do not agree about a lot of things in life. And attitudes of parents, I'm more of the over-the-top guy. Wes is more of the institutional guy. My daughter also played soccer for a number of years, and I found myself many times, the opposite side of the fence from Wes. So I think what you're going to hear today is Wes is going to give you a point of view from the institutional side, and I'm going to give you a little bit different point of view from the parent side. Now, I did push my daughter quite a bit. In the end, I do think it paid off, but there you can take it to an extreme. Hopefully, I never did. But there are a lot of people out there that do, and again, that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, let's start off with some of the extreme, James. I mean,
okay.
I think that the media has obviously been picking up on this, and we've seen an increase, at least in the media reports, of parental violence in youth sports over the last 2 or 3 years. And I hate to pick on soccer. Obviously, it's a sport that I've been very involved in and most familiar with.
As a matter of fact, aren't you on some committee or something with Dallas Cup when they have it here each year?
Oh, I'm involved with Dallas Cup as well. Used to be president of a local soccer club, and now I'm chairman of the Boys Classic League. And, obviously, I get a great deal of enjoyment out of volunteering. But when you say that I'm with the institutional side, the league that I'm chairman of has 3,800 players, and they usually cause me less concern than the 7,200 parents and the 300 or so coaches that coach the teams in the league. So from my perspective, yes, I think I can say that it seems to be getting worse, at least in the last 10 years.
Aren't you glad I'm not a parent anymore that you have to deal with?
Well, you, of course, had a daughter in the girls' league, so fortunately, James, I didn't have to deal with you because I'm sure we would have butted heads a couple of times.
Now, what you do for North Texas, too, aren't you, when there is a complaint that is registered with the league, let's say an unruly parent, are you not on a committee that actually comes up with some type of sanction against parents, players, coaches?
Yes. First, the local playing leagues try and deal with the situation. And when they can't, or when they deal with a situation and a parent appeals, and we'll talk later about all the legalization of the youth soccer world and youth sports in general, but when the local league can't handle the situation or when a parent appeals a ruling, it comes to the North Texas Competitive Committee, and that's where I and a group of other people who are a long time involved in soccer volunteers get involved and have to sit in judgment of people for violating ethical rules, for violating recruiting rules, offering kids things they shouldn't be offering just to go and play youth soccer.
Oh, they're not really. Are you telling me these teams are offering incentives to little children to play soccer?
It's been alleged, James.
All right.
Not so easy to prove, as you
I never would have dreamed that.
Well, it's one of those things that one hears more stories about than you can actually find proof of. But, that's the story, that little kid sports mean so much to some folks that they've got to offer something beyond just covering their costs to get a little soccer star to go play for their team.
All right. Now, when my daughter was playing, there were a few times, I will admit, that I did – yell at my daughter on the field. I did probably what most coaches would just despise, sit there and offer her suggestions as to where she needs to be on the soccer field.
And of course, James, that in your case came from a wealth of experience playing soccer as a youth. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
I didn't play soccer. I read a lot about it and thought I knew a lot about soccer.
Well, apparently everyone does these days. At least the referees have no shortage of people who see the game differently than they do. You know, again...
But wait for 1 second. I mean, you may say that, and that's the typical reaction, you know, that I get. But why is it, for instance, that somebody can't... I've never played hockey. I don't think you've ever played hockey. Why can't you watch hockey for a long period of time, study the game, read books about it, and then have some understanding that may be a competitive understanding as to what somebody's doing wrong?
I think it's
like in baseball. If you got a pitcher that can't hit the strike zone, I don't think it takes a nuclear scientist to figure that out.
Well, James, I think it's a matter of time and place. I mean, you can say that you understand baseball, but if the catcher is calling for a fastball, you don't need the pitcher's father in the stands saying throw him a curveball. I mean, the coach has got to be over there trying to communicate with his players, and if you've got 18, 20 sets of parents on a sideline all telling their kids what they ought to be doing, it leads to a lot of confusion, and I think it takes a lot of the joy out of it. And, you know, it's just all part of this growing immersion of parents into the game that leads to some of these more horrific examples we've seen. For example, let me just give you a kind of a hall of shame, if you will.
All right. So,
about a year ago, back in June, we had at a youth soccer game a full-scale brawl that broke out, and it involved the players, involved the coaches, involved parents.
Is this here in North Texas?
That was actually out in San Diego.
Okay.
Then back in March, you had a full-scale war breakout at midcourt at a varsity girls basketball game, and that's in Boston. Now, here's one of my favorites. We had a basketball game where a referee used a knife to slash a coach that was questioning his calls, and the referee turns out to be a Baptist minister. I think he was a substitute teacher, and that was in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Now,
we have all kinds of examples from all across the country. I have personally witnessed examples, including, just a few months ago back in league play, and this is an under-13 game, mind you. We had two mothers that were going at each other with lawn chairs, both resulting in their being suspended from watching their kids play for the next 2 years, which I'm sure will be quite a punishment for them. But it's these kinds of over-the-top examples that I think almost block or occlude the real issue, which is the amount of time that parents spend just immersing themselves in their children's sporting careers.
And I think some people might claim it is worse today, but you know, do you think perhaps maybe that the violence is just a little bit more inherent in the game of soccer? Now, I'm sure you're going to sit there and say, "Oh no, it's everywhere." But yet, I don't ever see the violence, for instance, that happens in the stands after a baseball game or during a baseball game. Is what I've seen, for instance, in some of these major league soccer games. I'm thinking of an example would be one they had in Brazil, I believe, not too long ago. You don't think it's just inherent in the game of soccer? It ends up being very passionate to people?
Well, I don't know. I remember watching the game between the Pacers and the Detroit Pistons a few years back. That seemed to be fairly violent. I do agree that sometimes... In a number of other more traditionally American sports, you have people up in stands who are separated by walls and fences from the playing surface versus soccer fields. The parents are usually standing right there, sometimes just inches away from one of the assistant referees, and certainly close enough to shout their instructions both to their own team and then shout comments to the opposing team, which, of course, riles everybody else up. But, James, I got to tell you, I think it is way worse today than it was when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, and maybe I'm not speaking for everybody, but this seems to be a fairly typical experience. My parents would just drop me off at quite a number of my baseball games. We would just take off as kids sometimes in the morning on our bikes and show up at night, or maybe my mother would ring a dinner bell that had a different sound than everybody else.
All right, well, I hear the music coming on. That means we're getting ready to have a break. Let's pick this up right after the break as to whether or not parents are actually more involved than what they used to be.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back. This is James Lynn and Wes Vines, and today our subject is out-of-control parents. I believe I probably was one of those out-of-control parents, maybe not as bad as some of the examples we're going to bring up, but I do think there's something to be said maybe for parents having a little bit of passion, and we're going to get into this in a minute with Wes, and Wes Vines, of course, is the co-host. He also is official here in with the North Texas Soccer Association, with the Boys Classic League, been involved many, many, many years in soccer. Wes and I don't, as I said, don't always think alike, and I'll just give you one short, funny example at the beginning, then we're going to pick back up. As we're trying to synchronize our watches today, before the show started, our clock on the wall was 2 minutes fast. Me, the solution was pull the battery out for 2 minutes and then put the battery back in. Wes is the type of guy that wants to read the instructions and figure out how to change the time correctly. Anyway, where we left off, instantly, Wes, did you change the clock?
I did change the clock.
Okay, all right. You didn't go with my...
Well, I'd like to go with a surgical knife rather than a sledgehammer, James, but that's kind of the way you and I are.
All right, okay. Anyway, I think where we left off is our parents more involved, and before the break, we basically were talking that parents used to drop us off, leave, be gone for a couple of hours, then pick us up. Today, it seems like parents are actually becoming more and more involved in their children's activity. Now, I think I would argue that I think that's a very, very, very good thing. But what happens is, as the involvement increases as time goes by, I think you're going to have parents then that become very involved in those activities. And it's one thing maybe for a parent to take a licking. I mean, we're all adults, so we're used to getting beat up from time to time, not physically, of course. I think it's quite something different when it's your child that ends up maybe not looking as good as what you would like. And that just seems like it's got to hurt and sting so much more. Whereas with me, if I'm not the greatest player in the world, that's fine. I never played sports that much when I grew up. But I think it hurt a lot more when there was criticism of my daughter, and I think that has a tendency to inflame the passion. Now,
well,
Wes?
I agree that it is much more easy to take criticism when it's coming directly at you than to sort of take criticism when it's aimed at your child, especially if it's being yelled at your child from the coach's sideline out to the middle of the field where everybody can hear it. But, you know, you have to wonder why parents are so much more involved today than they used to be. You know, in part, it's just because back in the 50s, when you and I were being raised in the early 60s, parents did not fear to let their children roam the neighborhood. They did not fear to let their children go up through the school playground. And now everything is structured. Play is structured, and youth sports is far more structured. And with that comes a lot more expense. And, James, you know, money makes a lot of the world turn around. And I think that when parents pay big bucks, they want a say. And we ought to just share for a bit, because I know that you were the treasurer of your daughter's soccer team. This is an expensive sport. For some reason, United States of America has taken a sport that is played by the poorest of the poor around the globe, and we've made it extremely expensive.
Well, and for some of these people may not know how much money is involved in select soccer. And, for instance, my daughter played for the, it was a girls' team, it was the Defeaters here in Dallas, Texas, and the dues, that's for the coaching, et cetera, were about $1,900 a year. The uniform was about another $300 a year. And when you add on the cost of the tournaments, the travel, you could be adding on another $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a year based on where you went and where you stayed.
James, it is not unusual for the top teams and the top clubs in the Dallas area to basically require that each player fork out about $4,000 to $5,000 a year by the time all the travel is said and done.
Well,
a couple thousand for fees, uniforms, and extra skills coaching on the side. But many of these teams from our leagues, the Girls Classic League and the Boys Classic League here in Dallas, go to summer tournaments on the West Coast, the Surf Cup, and so forth. They go over Christmas time down to Disney Showcase. You know, not much is cheap down there at Disney. I go to the WAGS Girls Tournament in Washington, D.C., and all this crossing the country traveling adds up, and that's just for one child.
And where I've seen some parents, and I have a lot of sympathy for some of these parents, that they would sit there and scrape because the money comes hard with them. Some of these people, they might be making maybe $35,000-$40,000 a year. They're scraping along. They've got four children, and they're putting out this type of money. They end up then traveling, let's say, to San Diego. They get out there. They spend all this money. Their child gets to play maybe 10 minutes out of an hour-and-a-half game. Now, Wes, I've seen that. I saw that a lot, and that is one thing that absolutely drove parents mad. Now, I hear the music coming back on. We're going to pick up on Wes's take on this, on the out-of-control parent that spends the money and their child doesn't get to play soccer.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back. This is James Lynn in West Vine. We're filling in today for Tommy Crier. Tommy is traveling, and we are today are talking about something a little bit different. We are talking about out-of-control soccer parents. How's that? Now, when we left, we were talking about something that I had seen a number of times, and that is parents that were basically scrimping by, struggling, trying to make ends meet, spending a considerable amount of their money, a very material portion of their money, having their children, and my personal experience, it was girls, putting their girls out there to play, then traveling, and in some cases, their children not playing, or perhaps playing 10 minutes a game. And this absolutely infuriated the parents. And to some extent, I think this is one type of out-of-control parent where the coach, because the coach wants to win, doesn't actually give all the players the opportunity to play. And this is select soccer is competitive. These coaches get their jobs to win for their club.
You know, James, you brought up a very good point. It's not just the money that the parents pay, it is the money that the coaches are paid. Some people may not realize that in the soccer hotspots of this country, coaches can make $80,000, $90,000, even over $100,000 a year if they're a top coach in a top club.
And they got to win.
And you're making that kind of money, guess what? You need to win. And when you need to win, it may be that that youth player at the end of the bench isn't going to see the kind of playing time that they might see in a less competitive environment. But isn't that what our country's all about? You know, we're all about competition. You know, dog eat dog. Isn't that the kind of ethic that leads us into this kind of situation?
Well, you know, Wes, for you and I, that's fine. I mean, we're big boys, and we can deal with that. But I watched this when my daughter was 10 years old. It was that way. And I've watched these children crying. Now, perhaps you're right. It is competitive. These coaches do want to win, and they get paid more because they get more teams when they win. But what's at issue here is that these parents do get upset when their child on an 18 roster team might be number 16, 17, or 18, and they're not getting to play. And these parents then get upset. Do you now think that, do you not understand why parents are upset?
Well, I understand it. It's certainly a lot different than in the days where you went and played, and maybe your parents had put out $5-6 for a T-shirt from the local Optimist Club or the local Dairy Queen. When you're putting out, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 per child, and you're hoping at the end of the day that it's going to be a college scholarship, even though that's often a pipe dream. Yes, parents get upset, and that's a big part of it. But, you know, it's not just soccer. We are seeing more and more one sport specialist. You know, when I was a kid, the very best athletes were probably the star in every sport, you know, but almost every kid played baseball and football and basketball, depending on the time of year. Soccer, as you know, James, is pretty much 24/7, 365 days a year. You see that now in girls' volleyball. Club sports has become kind of the norm, really, in a number of sports. Basketball is more and more that way.
And in regard to my daughter's playing, the only downtime they had was from about the beginning of December until about midway or through the end of January. And in her last 2 years, where they actually were going to showcase tournaments, there ended up being a lot of tournaments that fell within that Thanksgiving Day weekend. On Disney, for instance, was a big showcase for colleges, and that was also in December. Matter of fact, I think one of them was over the New Year's holiday.
Well, even when they have holidays, James, as you know, a lot of parents are out there when the team isn't playing, paying for skills coaching so that their daughter can get even better or their son can get even better, and when the team picks up again, that they have a better shot of getting more playing time. And, you know, so you have paid coaches, you have highly paid skills coaches, you have one sports specialist, and then you have the organizing force of soccer, in my view, and that's club sports. You have these clubs, that many of which have been around now for 30, even longer years, and some of them have budgets, approaching $1 million or above. You think about it, if you have 100 teams and, you know, you have 16 players, that's 1,600 players, and they're all paying $2,000, that's a pretty healthy number. These aren't mom-and-pop operations at the top of the youth sports game.
All right. Now, one of the things, though, I believe, too, there is coaching done by the parents. I probably was one of the worst offenders, and Wes has seen me numerous times up close and live in person coaching my daughter, and I freely admit that. But I do think that there's some logic there. Now, I'm never going to convince a coach of this, and if there are any coaches out there listening to this, you're more than free to call in and try to convince me otherwise. But I don't believe it. And here's one good reason why I don't. If, in fact, your child is having a problem in reading or math, you don't just sit back when you see the child developing a problem. You do what any other normal parent would do. You get in there, you help, you're supportive, you offer advice, and you push. Because at the end of the day, if your child cannot read, your child is at a huge disadvantage.
Well, wait a minute, Jay. Now, let me just stop you there for a second.
Let me finish this thought. Because if what you're going to do is rely on that teacher, to end up instructing your child to read or write, and that teacher isn't getting the job done, and you don't jump in there and do it, then by God, I think you're just as culpable as that teacher. Go ahead, Wes.
Well, it's fine to offer supplemental instruction. It's fine to offer encouragement. It's fine to augment what they're getting. But the analogy that I would make is if your child was up at the blackboard running through an algebraic formula, and you're sitting there in the back of the room going, no, you know, you need to multiply before you add. You know, that's the kind of thing that I don't think is helpful. It's when they're in the crunch moments, when they're at that pressure point, that you're adding to the pressure rather than giving some kind of instruction after they have stepped away from the blackboard or stepped off the pitch in the case of soccer. Isn't there something to be said about that, James?
Well, some cases yes, some cases no. I think if you have a bad habit, and I guess here we go again, this is the conflict between the parent and the coach. But if, in fact, you have a bad habit, and you as a parent, or the child has a bad habit in what they're doing, and you have spent time and money and gone to coaching seminars, had the private instruction, you've talked to the private coach of what's going on, and this could be similar to baseball, and you get in there, and maybe you don't have your shoulders squared.
Mark in Texas.
We'll take the we've got a caller. We'll take the caller and hold on for about 5-10 minutes. If in fact the child or the boy is not squaring his shoulders when he's in the batter's box, right then is the time to correct it. And a lot of coaches take the position that, well, I've got 19 people on this team. I don't have that much time to worry about this one person. And if you don't get that habit corrected right then, that's the time, Wes, to correct it. Not a day later or 4 hours later, because you correct the problem when you're actually right then living the problem. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought that's why you're paying a coach for, James.
But sometimes,
are you saying the coach was failing your daughter when he failed to apparently note this bad habit that you were saying?
I think what happens is the coach has 18 players, and the coach sometimes cannot take a look at each individual player in the depth that a concerned parent can.
All right. Well, you brought up this relationship to the classroom. And I will agree with you that parents are getting more involved, not just sometimes on the sports fields, but also in the decisions that are going on in the classroom. Far more likely to call a teacher up these days and complain about what's happening in terms of grades and the curriculum and whatnot than used to be the case. You have parents that are fighting over getting their kids into preschools these days. Parents that are willing to mortgage their house and sell off their investment accounts in order that they can send their kid to a name brand college. What's this all about? Why are parents so driven with the concern that their kids succeed versus our parents?
Because we, Wes, learned the hard way. We now have this experience, and we don't want our children to have to go through and learn the hard way like what we did. That's one reason we have books today.
Wait a minute. Hold on there a second. You know, you and I are baby boomers. We probably grew up in one of the most wealthy countries in the history of the planet at a time of great expansion of our economies versus what? Our parents who lived through the Depression and lived through World War II? I mean, what kind of bad experiences have we had that have caused this change in the way parents live through their children compared to our parents' generation?
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. We've got a caller. You want to take a question, Wes?
Sure.
All right, Mark. Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Good.
Doing fine.
Got a couple of comments. First, it seems like the older the kids are, the harder it is to break the habits, and I don't know if that totally involves the parents or not, but it seems to have a lot to do with it. But
are you telling me my daughter started telling me on the field for me to shut up? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, it happened. Well, you're right.
Something I've seen, too, is a lot of these teams, what they try to do is, oh, we got to have a great coach, we got to pay them a lot. But then what they end up doing is they take the coaching out of coaching. Because they place so many restrictions on the coach, like you were talking previously about, you know, playing time. Well, you know, unless you're playing in an upper echelon league, I mean a league where everybody is really good, like the cream of the crop, if you're playing in one of those second or third tier leagues, you're going to have teams that are not competitive. That's when you equalize the ice time or the playing time. But the problem is the parents think that all their kids should get equal time every game. If they'll let the coach coach, there are certain games he can give an extra amount of ice time to the children that are not yet either mentally or physically prepared, and it all works out for the best.
Mark, I agree with you, and I think that one of the things that parents don't always think about is, why am I spending all this money when for $30, $40 a year, my child could be playing recreational soccer, or maybe for half of the money of the big-time clubs, they could be having an experience where it's competitive, but nonetheless, there's an opportunity for players to develop. And this is, after all, youth sports. You know, one of the things that you see, and it doesn't matter how much you get in the, by way of skills coaching, at around 12 to 14, 15 years of age, there are wild swings. And one player being, you know, nearly 6 foot tall, and the other player still being, you know, 4.5 feet tall, weighing 60, 70 pounds. You can't overcome that with skills coaching.
And the 6 foot tall player that weighs that extra amount mentally may be still a 5 foot 2 inch player.
That's true.
You see what I'm getting at? There's so many different aspects of being a productive team member. You know, and that attitude, even everything. And you got to let the coaches coach to a certain extent. If you don't want them, get rid of them. But quit putting so many parameters around them that they can't even express what they're good at.
Well, Mark, let me ask you.
Go.
Did you play sports as a kid?
Played football and run track.
And do you think that your experience in terms of the involvement of your parents is different than the kids are experiencing today?
Oh, it's light years different now. Light years different.
Is?
It was an extracurricular activity when I was growing up. Now it's life and death. It has gotten so out of control.
But do you think that we worry that we're in a more competitive world? You know, I remember back in the 80s, there was a lot of Japan bashing going on because people were worried that the Japanese were going to, you know, take over the world economy. And there were lots of stories planted about how America was falling behind. And it seemed like not too long after that, you know, all of a sudden in kindergarten, instead of making thumb pots and taking naps, kids are being taught to read and write and trying to get a head start on algebra.
Yes, but guys, in all fairness, it is more competitive. That's just what's going on. Wes well knows that 9 years ago, I set out on a goal to get my daughter into an Ivy League school. And it is extremely difficult to do that. And yes, I was one of those, to some extent, an out-of-control parent, skills lessons, this, that. But it, in fact, her being as good a soccer player as she turned out to be is what got her into Cornell, picking her up, and she now plays for soccer for Cornell.
Yeah, of course, and we've had this, you know, discussion many times before, James, on a personal level. But
there was no other way to do it.
Wait, she got into Cornell. Now, is that because your daughter also happens to be a pretty darn good student and a pretty darn good soccer player? Did she get there because of you or despite you?
It worked either way, didn't it?
Well, it worked out. But I'm not sure if your recipe quite, you know, resulted in what was served for dinner.
Yeah, sometimes I wish that we could privatize, and I really hate doing all this stuff, but privatize football just like soccer and hockey and all these other sports are, and just let schools teach. Because you were talking about having a private coach. How about just having an extra conditioning coach on top of that?
Well, there are those who have them.
That's how bad it gets.
The soccer team my daughter played on, they actually had two coaches for each team, and one of them was a conditioning coach. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Yes, but that was the feeder soccer team. It was an all-girls team. And the people that were involved in coaching with the feeders weren't, for the most part, there for a salary. They were committed because their children years ago had, we're talking girls in this case, they had played soccer. They had a love for the sport. They had the passion for it. But a lot of these teams, and I won't name any, but a lot of these clubs here in, at least in the North Texas area, this is big business. Big business. But it is the big business aspect, and it is, regardless what people say, there are scholarships at the end of the road. There are opportunities.
Let's be honest about that. There are now, I think it's moved from 12 to 14 scholarships available for a Division One girls team. And for a men's team, it's only 9.9 because of Title IX. But
I hear the music coming on. We'll pick this discussion up when we come back from the break. Thank you, Mark, for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Back. This is James Lynn and Wes Vines. We'll be on about 5 minutes before we go back up for the break. And what our program today is about is out of control parents. And right after we come back from our break at top of the hour, we're going to start getting into some examples as to some of the activities of some of these out of control parents. But what we were talking about, we'll spend a few more minutes, is personally I believe there are huge benefits in getting your child to succeed in sports. And I think it's gotten even more so now that due to, I think it's title, isn't it Title IX, Wes?
That's true.
That sports has been opened up to women. Huge, huge benefits right now for women, particularly in soccer. And I believe on our defeater soccer team, I think it was roughly 50%, may have been a little bit better than that, girls on that team ended up getting some type of financial assistance. One of them is in Baylor, a couple of them are in Louisiana, one's in Kansas, a couple of them in Alabama. I mean, and what we're talking about is they could have gotten $20,000 or $10,000 in financial aid. That's a lot of money. Well, it's a lot of money to me.
Well, James, now, that is a great reason for kids to get involved in sports. And
it's a good reason for parents to be involved in sports. There is a payday, Wes. Regardless what you tell me, there is a payday. Some of the top-tier teams, the defeaters that year finished third, but there were two other teams that finished one and two. Most of those girls got excellent scholarships. Some of them full ride. One girl that we both know got a full ride to UCLA.
James, I might point out that your daughter played on a team that was, third or fourth in the girls classically here in Dallas, which is, by many accounts, the top girls league in the entire country. So if you want to go three, four teams deep, sure, there are lots of opportunities. But the fact of the matter is there are probably 40 or 50 teams in each age group here in Dallas. And that's just here in one city, one metroplex. That's not what's repeated at every level all across the country.
Well, I sat there and watched it very carefully on the girls, and there were a bunch of girls that for instance, went down to the University of Texas at San Antonio. I bet you they're off of some of these, and I don't mean this in a derogatory manner, but on some of these lower-tier teams that probably were getting 50% scholarships.
And again, I agree with you that sports is a great thing to get involved in. There are college scholarships for some, but it's more than that. I mean, I think that I can tell you that my daughter played for 8 years. I think that her confidence, the way she carried herself, is different by having been a competitive athlete all those years. I think that when she was in a competitive situation in school, I think she handled the pressure better because she had been in competitive situations on the soccer field. But that doesn't mean that she would have been better off if I had been standing there screaming at her to perform in a certain way during her games. I
well,
probably
maybe,
did a few times and got that look that, you know, basically freeze fire.
It might be saving you $10,000 a year now. And you're an attorney making a very good living, but there are some people out here that maybe aren't as blessed as you and I are. And this is an excellent way, to get a good chunk of that tuition paid for. Is there work that's involved? Yes.
Well,
is there pressure? Absolutely.
You and I are really, you know, going to be on different sides of that question because a lot of this bad behavior we're seeing comes at not even 10 years old. And to look at a 9-year-old and start making the plans for college and start behaving in some of the ways that we see because we just know our 9-year-old is going to turn out to be a college soccer player, that's fool's gold, James.
You know, you say that, but most great athletes, and I'll give you this, that it's not for everybody, but I remember when I was growing up, Jimmy Connors, Chris Everett, they had